Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's the Better Business Bureau Show with Caitlin Driscoll here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net. Good morning and welcome to the Better Business Bureau Show on Westmoreland Saturday Morning on 98.7 and 107.5 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX, westmorelandgold.net, and the iHeartRadio app. Featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director, Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, good morning and happy fall, as we're in October already.
Yes, good morning, and definitely exciting to be officially in a new season.
And what are we going to be discussing on today's Better Business Bureau show?
Well, this month is actually known as being National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And with everything from work to school, shopping, even doctor's visits having undergone this massive digital transformation in the past year, identity thieves have evolved to exploit people in our increasingly digital world. So on today's show, we're going to talk about some surprising new facts about identity theft, how you can protect yourself by being cyber smart all year round. And additionally, as we alluded to, this is our first show since the official start of the fall season. So we're also going to talk about some new fall tips and different seasonal scams that you need to be aware of this October.
Well, I already said happy fall, so I'll just add happy Cybersecurity Awareness Month now. And we all recognize that scammers take advantage of change and confusion, which has been a common theme throughout this past year. How has this impacted the scale of identity theft?
Well, together, both of those factors really contributed to a sharp rise in scams, fraud, and identity theft, nearly doubling the number of identity theft reports that people submitted to the Federal Trade Commission last year. And approximately $712 billion were lost to identity theft. And consumers nationwide submitted 1.4 million reports of ID theft to the FTC's Consumer Sentinel Network. But identity theft was the most commonly reported incident, topping more previously common scam types, such as the imposter and even online purchase scams that we've talked about before.
What are some other things people might be surprised to learn about this recently increased scale of identity theft?
Well, the most common targets for identity theft actually skew younger than other scams. In fact, millennials, people are surprised to hear this, but millennials are now the most common target for identity theft. And consumers who are between the ages of 30 to 39 made up the largest share of reported identity theft victims last year. And they also remain the most common reporters of ID theft so far this year. But there are also over 23,000 identity theft incidents that affected people below the age of 19. So unfortunately, children, they aren't safe either from identity theft. And it often takes longer to recognize that this theft has occurred when victims are that young. And some thieves may even get away with that type of scam for years before they're caught. So it's never too early to start monitoring someone's credit report.
Wow, those are surprising numbers to me for sure, Caitlin, because, you know, you think of scams and everything like that. And most people think the elderly or the first target that would be the highest number.
Yes, definitely. And for this type of scam, it definitely skews younger.
Are there any new trends with how people are falling victim to identity theft?
As more services have shifted online over the past year, our private information has also shifted. And one consequence has been a rise in data breaches for businesses, as well as new account fraud and account takeovers for people. And this is when a criminal gains unauthorized access to your online account. And not only are account takeovers growing, they also have a higher risk of financial loss associated with them. And another thing, peer-to-peer payment fraud is skyrocketing as well. It's been found that social media users are 30% more likely to fall victim to identity theft too. And people often forget that thieves can just learn tons of valuable information about their potential victims just by glancing at their social media. So even taking a Facebook quiz can increase your exposure to identity theft by enabling thieves to collect information that then helps them be able to hack into your account. And thieves also frequently make contact with their victims through social media, too.
Now, things like participating in trending social media quizzes always seem innocent and fun, but they really do have the potential to be risky if you think about it. Do you think that most people underestimate their risk of identity theft?
Absolutely. And I think we're all guilty to a certain extent of hearing about these kinds of things, but then just thinking it'll always happen to someone else and not us. In fact, there was a recent Experian survey that had discovered that most people don't really believe they're at risk for identity theft. And people don't fully grasp the size of their digital footprint either. Others feel that if they have poor credit, it makes them unattractive to identity thieves. But in reality, sharing personal information on social media, using public Wi-Fi, even sharing login information with friends and family can all increase your chances of falling victim to identity theft. And people who do fall victim also tend to report being surprised by the unexpected toll that the overall experience has on their mental health. And that's something a lot of people don't think of when they tend to think of identity theft too. But repairing accounts, requesting refunds, and enhancing privacy safeguards can cause stress, fatigue, even depression amongst victims. And the emotional effects can impact work, school, relationships. Past victims are also more likely to experience identity theft again that we've found. And identity theft really is a major risk to anyone who has a paper trail or any type of digital footprint. So in other words, everybody, all of us, we do have some level of risk.
It's important for all of us to remember this risk. So what should we do to be more cyber smart?
Well, fortunately, there's a lot you can do to protect yourself. And you should never underestimate the importance of even just continuing those simple steps like secure document disposal. So not just throwing away something with account or sensitive information versus shredding it properly. But double your login protection. This is a big thing, by always enabling that multi-factor authentication just to ensure that the only person who has access to your account is you. And you should use it for email, any banking, social media, any other service that requires logging in. And if multi-factor authentication is an option, you can enable it by using a trusted mobile device. So your smartphone, sometimes even a unique authenticator question, or even some devices have that facial or fingerprint recognition. But it's always a good idea to opt in if you're able to. And it's also a good reminder to just do a general password and app review during this time. So strong, unique passwords should always consist of letters, numbers, special characters. Recommended now to even use a phrase or a sentence, so a passphrase instead of a password, and check your app permissions. Use that rule of least privilege to delete what you don't need or you no longer use. And learn to just say no to privilege requests that don't make sense. Only download apps from trusted vendors and from those trusted sources. Secure Wi-Fi is also a big thing. So make sure your Wi-Fi network is secured. And your home's wireless router is really the primary entrance for cyber criminals to access all of your connected devices. So secure Wi-Fi, your digital devices, by changing that default password and username. Additionally, whether it's your computer, your smartphone, a game device, or other network devices, the best defense is to stay on top of things by always updating to the latest security software, your newest web browser and operating systems. If you have the option to enable those automatic updates to defend against the latest risks, turn it on so you don't even have to think about it. And if you're putting something into your device, such as a USB for an external hard drive, make sure your device's security software scans for viruses and malware. And protect your devices with antivirus software. Periodically back up your data. So any data that can't be recreated, such as any personal photos or even any personal documents too. It's also vital how we've talked about to use social media responsibly, because it really does put you at a higher risk of identity theft. And even though it's a great way to connect with your friends and family, it really can also allow scammers and cyber criminals to target you. So only accept those friend requests from people that you know and trust. Avoid clicking on links and messages from strangers, and just refrain from posting your personal information online. Be careful about what you share, because there's really no delete button online. Even if you may be able to erase something, there's still ways to get it back. It's never actually completely erased once it's online. And it's also important to really talk about these tips and share this information to educate others, remind children, other family members, even your coworkers of the associated risks.
Now, even if we follow all of these precautions, how can we recognize, or what are the main signs that our identity has been compromised?
That's a great question, because the earlier that you notice something might be amiss, the faster you can take that action to minimize the damage. And a common first sign of identity theft is if you start to receive statements or bills in the mail for accounts you never opened. If you get a bill for an account you didn't authorize, someone may have gotten a hold of your personal information and opened an account in your name. So contact the company immediately to find out if there's been a mistake, and check your credit report for unusual activity. So if you get something from a retailer or a company in the mail that you don't have an account with, don't have a relationship with, don't just throw it away in the garbage. Actually, take a couple of seconds to open it and make sure that it's not something regarding an account you didn't authorize. But another sign could also be if you are surprisingly denied a loan or some type of credit. So you might think that you have great credit, but if you go to apply for a credit card or a loan and you're shocked to find that you've been rejected, it just may be that you've been the victim of identity theft, because thieves can open accounts in your name, run up the bill, and then default on those payments, ruining your credit before you know what they've been up to. So check your credit report a few times a year just to make sure no one has been opening any credit accounts using your identity. Suspicious activity, so charges on your bank account and your credit card, along with debt collection calls about money owed for charges you never made, can also be red flags. Additionally, if you receive authentication messages for accounts you didn't set up, scammers could be trying to set up a new account in your name. If you receive unexpected authentication messages, don't reply. Review your bank accounts, your credit card statements, your credit report. Make sure no one has succeeded in making transactions in your name. And keep in mind, too, we're coming up on tax time again, but this also tends to be that time of year that a lot of people first recognize that their identity has been compromised. Because people find out that their tax return gets rejected. So someone may have filed in their name and made off with their tax refund. Sometimes the IRS catches a fraudulent tax return before that fake filer succeeds in getting your return. But when this happens, you might receive a letter from the IRS with instructions on how you can verify your identity and prevent identity thieves from using your social security number for tax fraud in the future.
Now, these are all important reminders, especially as we head into the start of the holiday season, and that's right around the corner. But before we move on to that, let's talk about fall and some of the hot topics that we need to know about.
Yes, and this is the time of year that so many people, especially homeowners, are looking to finish up those home improvement projects that we've all been putting off before winter hits. And the Better Business Bureau has been getting reports recently regarding door-to-door driveway resealing scams, as well as companies that are going around offering free chimney or roofing inspections. And one such example that was recently reported to BBB Scam Tracker said that two people with the name Stone Seal Coating on their truck were going around their neighborhood and knocked on their door. They offered to do driveway sealing, and they told them that they'd use asphalt-based sealing material that was branded Sealmaster, but it actually ended up being a very thin layer of spray. And after they contacted the company again, once they realized this, They refused to provide any additional information. They refused to provide their registration information or even respond further to any questions. So before you let anyone on your roof or do work at your home, you really have to make sure that you know exactly who you're dealing with and verify their registration with the PA Attorney General's office to ensure that they're legally able to complete the work. Start with BDD.org too. And if a contractor has multiple negative reviews and complaints in their business profile, think twice about hiring them. Often just a simple internet search is going to reveal companies or people that have been involved in fraudulent activities or been providing unsatisfactory work to previous clients. And be especially wary of those unsolicited offers. So a lot of the scams that we hear about involve contractors, they start when just a random contractor makes that effort to go out of their way to offer an estimate that had never been requested. Make sure you obtain multiple estimates instead of just going with the first offer, even if it seems to be convenient. And don't let a contractor start working on a project until there's a written signed contract outlining start and completion dates, a detailed description of the work to be completed, material costs, payment arrangements, and warranty information should be provided too. And keep in mind, most contractors are going to require that a percentage of the total price be paid up front, but it should never be that full price before the work has started. So make an agreement to stagger payment so work can be inspected at various stages of your project. Always use safe payment methods as well. So paying with a credit card does provide more peace of mind, since the credit card company will help you if the company turns out to be fraudulent. If you use a check, write it out to the company, not any individual. And remember that paying cash or using any type of electronic wallet app is pretty risky because there's no way to stop that payment or get cash back if something goes wrong.
Now, along with finishing up those last minute home improvement projects for the year, what else should people be doing to prepare their homes for colder weather? And I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say.
Well, another item on the cold weather preparation checklist does include scheduling a furnace checkup and cleaning.
Exactly.
Yes. So clean or repair your furnace's air filters. Have a trusted professional check your furnace. Ensure the thermostat, other parts are working properly. And as we all know, cold weather can put a strain on your furnace, and you could unexpectedly find yourself in need of an emergency heating contractor for repairs or replacement system this winter. So it's extremely important to be as prepared as you can be in advance. Just be cautious about any misleading heating contractors who might try to use high-pressure scare tactics to convince you to buy expensive, sometimes unnecessary repairs and parts. Along with taking all of the different steps that we talked about for hiring fall contractors, when it comes to the HVAC industry, the Better Business Bureau suggests inquiring about any trip fees, any diagnostic fees, and even overtime rates prior to contracting with a company, because these fees are all going to vary. Also, be sure to check the warranty on your current furnace, because any repairs or replacements may even be covered, so you might not have to pay as much out of pocket. But recognize red flags too, because some dishonest contractors may even try to claim that your system is leaking dangerous gases that could explode or poison those inside your house. Or they may recommend repairs and replacements that are not actually needed just to convince you to waive your 3-day right of rescission. So always take the time to get a second opinion, because if a heating contractor tries to claim that your furnace is dangerous and they have to red tag it, keep in mind your local utility company needs to come out to your home and verify those findings. And you have the right to be present during that inspection. You really should be. The utility representative will be there along with the contractor. So if someone attempts to make a claim and doesn't follow those proper procedures, they're just trying to get you to pay to initiate that replacement process first, you're likely dealing with a fraudulent contractor.
Are there any other seasonal scams that are targeting people this time of year?
So the emergency scam, which is also referred to as the grandparent scam, is one issue that has recently been making the rounds again. And you might have seen or read in the news that there are four men actually in the Westmoreland County prison without bonds. They had been arrested on theft and conspiracy charges for running a pretty big grandparent scam that bilked at least $250,000 from 10 senior citizens in Allegheny and Westmoreland counties. So this definitely is making the rounds again. But in a typical emergency scam, someone's preying on the willingness of a worried person who wants to help their friends or family who's in need. And often they'll impersonate someone's loved one. They'll make up some type of urgent situation and plead for help and money. And unfortunately, with social media, it's so easy for scammers to look up information and really come up with plausible stories, incorporating people's nicknames and even real travel plans into the scam to convince people it's real. But specifically in the grandparent variation of this, they'll contact someone's grandparent claiming to be the grandchild asking for money, and they want the grandparent to wire transfer or send payment through some type of untraceable method to help them out. And then eventually they find out that this family member was safe and sound all along. But the scheme can also work in reverse, targeting the grandchild, and it's claiming to be the grandparent needing help too.
Is that scenario essentially what happened to the victim local to this area?
Yes. So in this new local instance in Unity Township, actually, an elderly woman had reported that a person called her around 10 a.m. claiming to be her nephew and said he was in jail as a result of a fatal traffic accident and he needed $12,000 for bail. But the woman later received a call from an unknown woman claiming to be her nephew's attorney. And she provided more details of this fictional crash, said that her nephew was going to remain in jail unless the $12,000 was raised. The woman then told the victim that a bail bondsman was going to go to her residence to pick up the money. So in this twist, thieves end up going to the victim's actual home and they pose as bail bondsmen to pick up that cash. But during the initial investigation, police found that there were at least 10 of these scams all happening at the same time in our area. And one of these scammers that was caught said that he had collected about $50,000 in similar scams. Another scammer was found with a shoebox with $220,000 in cash that he had collected from these scams as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about some of these being in, you know, here in Westmoreland County, and it's really a sad example of the scamming that's happening right in our backyards and why it's so important to remain vigilant and keep in close contact with our loved ones. Now, what do people need to remember to avoid falling for this kind of scam? Because as you just said, I mean, it sounds real and very convincing.
It does. And especially when you're in the moment, you're not expecting that type of call, your immediate reaction is to want to help your loved one. But if you receive a similar call or correspondence, you have to resist that urge to act immediately, no matter how dramatic the story is. Check out the story with other family, with friends. Hang up or close out that message. Call your loved one directly, especially if the person who contacted you is trying to discourage you from doing so. And don't call the phone number provided by the caller or what's showing up on caller ID, even if that caller claims to be the police or an attorney or another authority figure. Ask questions to you that are going to be hard for an imposter to be able to answer correctly. And know what your family members are sharing online. So you may not have control over your family's social media accounts, but familiarize yourself with what they're sharing online. This is also another important reminder to, again, avoid that oversharing, especially if you're doing any type of travel, not just because of identity theft, but other scams that use this kind of information. And just never wire any money. Don't use those peer-to-peer money transfer apps or allow anyone to come to your home for payment if there's any doubt about the call. If a person does wire or provide money and later realizes that it is a scam, definitely alert the police too.
Now, what are other scams that are being reported to BBB Scam Tracker now?
Well, the Better Business Bureau has also noticed this recent uptick in scammers impersonating well-known companies, and they're offering these amazing deals through text messages that usually have a COVID twist to them. So they're claiming that due to the pandemic, they're helping people out by providing free or discounted services, even gift cards and cash. But some of the recent reports consist of texts supposedly from Verizon offering a $950 COVID refund, Hulu providing a free one-year subscription to stay at home, other variations from Walmart, Amazon, Costco, USPS, and just other popular well-known brands. But these texts contain a link that, if clicked, you're prompted to log into a lookalike website that the scammers just use to obtain your login ID and password. And with that information, scammers can then access your accounts, even make purchases using your saved payment method. So if you receive a message from a number you don't recognize, be careful. More companies are now engaging in that SMS marketing. But if you haven't given a company permission to text you, it's probably a scam. Be cautious clicking on any links, because scammers often send those shortened links that don't let you see where they really lead to in the body of their text message. So you could be directed to a dangerous site or even download malware onto your device without realizing. Another good rule of thumb, just confirm the deals directly with a company before you accept. So if something sounds like a great deal, go to the company's official website, send them an email, or call them directly to inquire. And make sure you alert the company being impersonated to help fight the problem. So, for example, AT&T and Verizon are asking people to forward any suspicious messages to 7726 to spam on most keypads. And you can, again, also report any scams you encounter to BBB Scam Tracker.
Well, Caitlin, I have, I guess, luckily not got any of these text message scams, so hopefully that continues for me. But back to your Facebook and those other social media things, I know I've been getting a lot of those crazy friend requests from people that the names don't even look like names.
Yeah, and you're definitely lucky to not be getting those text messages, because I know not only are we getting an uptick in reports on those, but I've actually been getting them a lot to my personal cell phone. But definitely with social media, as we've talked about throughout the show, that those types of scams are increasing as well, where they're just creating these fake accounts to try to get you to accept their friend request, and maybe they'll start sending you direct messages with different offers, or trying to get information from your account even, just to be able to create fake accounts mimicking your information. So it's always a good idea, if it's somebody you don't know, don't recognize, just don't even accept their friend request. Even if it is somebody you think you're already friends with, check to see if you already are, because it could be someone copying their account.
Yeah, and it's so tough, as we've talked about, on social media. Everyone's just, you know, we're going on there, we're doing stuff so fast, half the time probably not even thinking about what we're doing, and then, you know, you could fall victim to this kind of stuff.
Absolutely, and just so many people have a bad habit of oversharing information on there, too, that really can be used against you or even your loved ones.
So as we wrap up here today, Caitlin, any last tips or final thoughts?
Well, just regardless of the reason or the season, don't hesitate to check with the Better Business Bureau for helpful tips, information on companies, and just details on the latest scams that are happening. And always report scams you encounter to BBB Scam Tracker at bbb.org. Give us a call, too, at 877-267-5222 to report any information.
Caitlin, thanks as always. Great information.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Better Business Bureau Show, featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director, Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, we'll talk again coming up in November.
Yes, talk to you in November.